Physically, it hadn't been that bad. That much was true. U.S. Grant had moved into Vicksburg with a minimum of fuss and no looting. He had even ordered that the starving townspeople be fed from his army's rations. But with the coming of the Yankees, the soul of the city and its inhabitants had been ripped out. Hope was dead, and nothing was left except a dreary existence under the heels of the conquerors. That was what Savannah had to look forward to. But telling that to his former hostess would do no good, Corey thought. Instead, he gave her a hug. "Don't worry. Everything will be all right." He could hardly remember a time when that hadn't been a lie, he reflected as he left the house, found Abner, and started down to the riverfront. Straw had been spread over the planks of the bridges to muffle the sound of marching feet. An old tactic, but an effective one. The troops shouldered their weapons, then picked up their packs, then moved out without a backward glance at the city they were leaving behind. Along the defensive line, the Confederate bombardment continued, carried out by skeletal crews of gunners who would pull out as well once the evacuation was well underway. Hardy remained almost until the last, his staff and aides waiting with him. The big guns fell silent as the last men abandoned the fortifications. In the Navy Yard, a short distance downriver, flames suddenly spurted into the night sky as the ships were set ablaze. The buildings on shore were torched as well. The Yankees would get no use for them. File after file, rank after rank, marched through the streets of Savannah to the river and then across the bridge to Hutchinson's Island. It seemed to Corey that the men would never stop coming, but he knew that no matter how many of them there seemed to be tonight, if that same number of men were spread out around the city to defend it from the marauding Yankees, they wouldn't be enough. Abner watched the blazing shipyard and the seemingly endless ranks of soldiers.
"It all might be a mighty impressive sight if it wasn't so damn sad."
"Yeah," Corey agreed.
"It's damn sad, all right."
Finally, it was their turn to leave. They walked across, following the general. Behind them, engineers brought up the rear. As they crossed, these men chopped holes in the hulls of the boats that had served as pontoons. As the boats began to sink, the ropes that held the bridge in place on shore were cut as well. The engineers hustled toward the South Carolina side of the river as the bridge began to sink behind them and drift seaward on the current. It was almost dawn on December 21st by the time the last of the troops were safely across the river. The Confederate ram Savannah, the only ship that hadn't been set afire earlier in the night so that it could serve as a guard in case the Yankees started downriver, was at the end of its usefulness as well. The vessel's captain touched off a long fuse leading to a keg of gunpowder in the magazine and then rowed away in a small boat with the last of his crew. A few minutes later, a huge explosion rocked the Savannah and set more flames shooting high into the air. On the South Carolina shore, as the men were preparing to march northward, Coy heard the explosion and felt the ground tremble under his feet. He looked back, saw the burning boat up on the river, and stared at the flames for a long moment as they leapt and cavorted and eagerly consumed all they touched, sparing nothing. Then Abner touched his shoulder, and he turned and joined the others, tramping off into a damp gray dawn, cloaked in mist. Later that day, cautious Union scouts advanced to the Confederate defensive line and found it deserted. More troops poured forward in response to this news, and a delegation of officials from the city came out to meet them, bearing the word that the Confederate army was gone. Civilians were all that remained in Savannah. By nightfall, the city was occupied by federal troops, and American flags flew from several of the buildings. General William Tecumseh Sherman entered Savannah the next day, December 22nd, pleased with what he found. Other than the burned Navy Yard and some slight damage from the artillery, the city was in fine shape, although the same could not be said of the hearts of the dispirited inhabitants. Sherman himself was ecstatic, reveling in his victory. Some of his officers regretted that Hardee's army had slipped away and had not been destroyed, but not Sherman. The march to the sea had been executed with only a few casualties to his army, a fact that was widely reported in the northern papers when word reached the anxious federal leaders in Washington. That overwhelming success would have been spoiled had Sherman's army been forced to fight street to street, house to house to capture Savannah. That his men would have triumphed in the end, Sherman had no doubt, but it would have been a costly victory in blood and lives. That day of reckoning for the rebellious Southerners was still to come, but before that, he would have the chance to deal out still more punishment to the Confederacy. Well satisfied, he sat down and composed a telegram to be sent to President Lincoln in Washington. "I beg to present to you, as a Christmas gift, the city of Savannah, with 150 heavy guns and plenty of ammunition, and also about 25,000 bales of cotton." It was a rare gift indeed, this destruction of a nation. This concludes the reading of Savannah by James Reisner. Copyright 2006 by James Reisner. This book was read by Lloyd James. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Writer's House, LLC, and was produced in 2005 by Blackstone Audiobooks, Incorporated, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audiobooks. If you would like to obtain a complete catalog of our titles or our monthly update telling you about new releases and our new collection of books on CD and MP3 CD, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. You may also obtain the same information from our award-winning website. Our address, all one word, is www.blackstoneaudio.com. Thank you.